everybody, and welcome back to part two for Grey's Academy. This is the episode. This is why we fight. I'm doing boxing.
That's the noise I'm telling
the people, because in case they don't know, that is the noise that boxers make. So, also, wait, I have to tell this. Bennett, we have like a little basketball, like a little Tykes one, and he had it. And he was like trying to get Michael to play basketball with him. And he was like, okay, I'll hold this and then you fight me for it. And I'm like, I mean, that's kind of sports, but not really. There's more to it than that. It's oversimplified, if you were to say. Okay, so we are going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment. Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And living in Shondaland today, very proud to share. Living in Shondaland is brought to you by our dear friends, our sponsors, our partners at Shure Microphones, Shure Audio Equipment. Just love it. Just really, just so happy. So happy to have this here. So if you're thinking, ooh, Gray sounds crisp today. The timbre of Carmen and Kelsey's voices are just tickling my genitals in ways that they don't
or
usually.
Or eardrums.
Or that's way more logical than what I said. then yes, you're correct. So thank you to our friends at Shure. If you want to continue to help us find ways to get partnerships and get sponsorships and create really cool relationships with awesome brands and help grow this podcast, both quality and size, hit that 5-star button, hit that review button, hit that like button, hit that follow button. Start just downloading fucking episodes from the Apple Store whenever you're there. Like, and you just see those iPhones set up. When you're at Target looking for Pokemon cards to send to me, go to the back section, go to the iPhones. I mean, if you're at an Android store, number one, why?
Ew.
Number two, not to casually just drag Android users on our shout out section while we're asking for help. But if you have access to someone's phone, just go into Spotify, go into the Apple Podcasts, go into Audible, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, and use their phone and give a 5-star review. Hit that follow button so all of a sudden Gray's pops up on their phone. It's the kind thing to do. And in this world right now, we need some kindness like the Grey's Academy podcast. So,
so true.
Yeah. How many people do we have for, living in Shondaland today?
One.
Okay. I can do this. It is, Julian Crest.
Yep.
Da! Man, that was good. That was good. Good job, Carmen.
Hart Buchner or Buchner. Julian Crest. One episode of Scandal.
Okay. I don't know that I remember him.
Well, he was in it.
I believe you.
I know.
Like, I think that you're truthful and you're not just making people up for this.
It's true. This time.
Oh, yeah.
You never know. There was a conversation on Discord about when I was saying last week that Stan looked so familiar. And I was like, why does he look so familiar? But he wasn't in Shondaland. And Brianna said that the reason he looks so familiar is because he looks like the doctor from a couple episodes ago who was teaching everyone how to do the hernia repairs and said that patients don't matter.
Hmm. Yeah, that guy sucks.
And then posted this side-by-side of them.
Yeah.
It said, I did see that. This same man, different font. So, I feel like that is a good track. So, yeah, I was surprised there weren't more in this episode, because I felt like there was, someone in particular. I was like, that person looks so familiar. But I'll be honest.
The dad of the patient that Bailey has kind of looks familiar too.
And then there was also, I will say, I don't feel that all like the little assistant and people that they had all the meetings with, I don't feel like all of those people were on IMDb. I'm going to be honest. Cause I feel like there were way more of them than were credited.
Mm, okay.
So if I had to guess, that's kind of where there's a bit of a lacking.
Got it.
In my opinion.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah. So, okie dokie. So we'll chat. There's only two patients in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I have to shout out Alicia yet again. I'm going to read what she wrote this week for this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
She wrote, "This week, we don't have a hospital to teach at, so class will be in session next week. Enjoy this Pegasus in a sponsored break brought to you by the Harper Avery Foundation." Truly incredible. Shout Amazing. Out. We love you so much.
Yes. Yes. You know, one thing I've been trying to do, not just with Patreon patrons, but also just like friends of the podcast that we've come to over time, have acquired. I actually had a chance to talk to Alicia on her break the other day at her job, just on like Instagram audio, and just truly cannot shout out enough the it's a teaching hospital, damn it, the help with that. Next on my list is Janisha, so I need to get you a phone call. So I'm like slowly going through my list. I'm like, I have 30 minutes. I'm going to text these people and or Instagram message these people. And if they're free, great. And if not, oh, well, we'll find time. We'll do it.
I love it.
If you're interested in a phone call from me on Instagram, message me. Let me know. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to be efficient with my driving time.
Yeah. As you just drive the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
Into looking the suburbs.
Looking for stuff to do. So I want to start. So let's talk about the case with April and Shane that they have, who is with Owen, and he's the scar tissue guy, like super
this
easy.
This man
case.
Is mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which like I would understand being frustrated, but I'm just like I just would be nervous to be mean to a doctor who is going to cut me open.
Yeah.
Like, you just never know how petty someone's going to be.
You never know. Also, we have three patients. We have the guy with the scar tissue who...
Oh, you're right.
And then Bailey's we have the patient. Bailey's patient with the arteries.
I was getting the two adults. I think I forgot about Andy.
It's okay.
Because I was thinking about Bailey and Heather, and then I was thinking about Joe and Alex.
Yeah. The scene where, so I just want to call back to the scene where Shane goes to April and he intends to ask her for a letter of recommendation. And she's like, I know what you're going to say. And it's like so crazy, because how could this have all happened to me? And how have I not learned from the situation? And you know, they really, she recalls all of the choices that she has made, and damn, do I forget how the writers really made her a punching bag for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot that she got fired for the airway thing.
Like, immediately upon arrival to the hospital.
Yeah. Hello, nice to meet you. You're fired. So, and then Shane was like, I could ask someone else, but I was just going to ask you for a letter of recommendation. That's fine. What a journey for her.
Yeah, she's been all... So, okay. So... April and Owen are with a patient named Andy who's had several surgeries and they have to do more, but they're going to try a different procedure. So hopefully it will like solve the problem this time. He is mad that it keeps happening, which I understand like 100%. Like that would be frustrating. Like, you know, to just constantly be told we fixed it. It's not. He was in the hospital to have adhesions removed. He's high risk. They're trying a new technique. They inserted adhesion barriers to keep the tissue. So the issue is, I think each surgery was creating more scar tissue. So they have to basically insert something so it can heal without creating more scar tissue that's causing... It's just like a snowball problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they tell him, you know, this is the solution. This is going to work, blah, blah, all this stuff. And then they're in the surgery... And Owen's like, okay, so this should be the solve then. And Shane's like, it should be, but you told him it would be. And he's like, well, yeah, he needs to like be in a better mindset that like it's actually going to work. And he's like, you're a liar. Like Shane is
goes off, from zero to 1,000
off the rocker this episode. Like, it is not cute. I'm like, I understand your panic, I understand your concern, but like, reel it in a little bit, my guy. What are you drinking?
A Zoa.
Oh, okay. I just see that. I was like, is it a Red Bull? Is it?
I couldn't tell. It's the Rocks energy drink. That's our next sponsor. I'm manifesting it. So, but you know what's crazy is Shane goes so quickly from drinking the Kool-Aid to ready to burn this motherfucker down. Like, yeah, so
it's
quick.
Crazy. And like, again, I can't imagine. I was going to say I can't imagine mass layoffs, but I've lived it. So, but this obviously is way more sudden than what happened. Like, when we were working at Disney and it was the end of like 2020 and COVID, and it was coming. It wasn't just out of nowhere, but anyways, so I can't imagine having a job, especially a job like being a doctor where you've gone through so much schooling and then as an intern, you have to like get placed in a program and like you've competed and this is an incredible program. Like this is, you know, a ranked hospital. And so it would, I can't imagine like the spiraling that would kind of take place. But these interns really start losing their shit in like not a great way.
Not a good way at all.
Because you still have to care for people. So Shane is like, asks April about the situation and she's like, that's not what's happening. And he's like, you should ask Hunt. And she's like, well, I don't think it's happening. So why would I ask him? And so then Shane, you know, it does come up during surgery and he's like, you're a liar. You're selling this to Pegasus and for parts. And well, because Owen says, don't worry, like Pegasus is going to buy. And Shane's like, yeah. And then they're going to sell us. And Owen's like, no, they're not. Who said that? And he says, Cahill. And so that's when Owen's like, the fuck is happening? So he leaves. And that's when Shane's like, look, he lied and then ran away. And April says, no, you fucking moron. He clearly had no idea.
Yeah, it's almost like comical how they've I don't know what lane the writers are in when they're writing Shane as a character, because they made him kind of a goofball and then they made him kind of like Derek's golden boy and then they had him fuck up the surgery with Meredith, and then now he was back helping defame vandalize the hospital. Not
defame.
I was gonna say deface, defecate. Oh. And
defecate
it all. I don't know what.
He's shitting on the walls of the hospital.
Oh man. Anyways, he's vandalizing the hospital with Derek's like blessing and request. And then he goes to like ready to fight Owen for thinking that he was in on it the whole time. So it's, I don't know how they're writing Shane, what their logic is, but it's kind of intense all over the place. But I like that there was finally that scene where Owen gets the realization. I don't like the backstabbing in TV and movie, film, etc. Mm-hmm. So he gets to have a say before the backstabbing is complete, and I'm very happy for that.
Yeah. So yeah, Shane was wilding out. And then he does, you know, the surgery seems to be like it's a success. We don't really get a huge follow up with it.
Shane just worked.
Goes out to April. He says, can I ask you something? And she says, you want to know how something like this can happen? I don't know. I guess you have to believe everything happens for a reason. It's all part of some plan, and you're supposed to learn something. You lose a patient because you forget to check their airway, and you don't make that mistake again. You fail your boards because you're too busy sleeping with your best friend. Maybe you stop doing that.
The look on his face when he does this, he's like, what?
Wait, what?
where are we going with this?
We gotten here? actually, I was just going to ask for a letter of recommendation. So, yeah.
That's so funny. It's so, so funny.
And then the patient with Alex and Joe is this cutie little kid named Bobby. And he's getting a mass removed from his intestines. And he's named it Phil because he's a little kid, and the first time they told him there's a mass, he heard there's a man. So he's like, there's a little man living inside of me, but he's fucking up my ability to exist. So it's, I think it's really cute. They all have like buttons that say adios, Phil. So cute. It's just a good doctoring episode for Alex. And Joe gets really upset because she's like, yeah, I'll find another program, but it's not going to be like this. And, you know, she basically is like, I get to work with you as my best friend, and I don't want to not see you at work all the time.
She's having maybe some transitioning romantic feelings.
But.
Or just platonic.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, at the beginning of the episode, Alex is annoyed and she's like, are you mad at me because I blew you off? And he's like, no, I'm mad because I didn't fucking go to Hopkins and now I'm the rug pulled out from under me and I'm not going to have a damn job and I could have been working at the best hospital in the country for pediatrics.
Yeah, it's
he says that like four times.
He does.
Like, should have gone to Hopkins. And Richard's like, yeah, you fucking should have.
Yeah,
you moron.
Weber. He's just funny. He's a, like, Weber, I think, is probably the most realistic person written on this show. Is that weird to say?
No, I think him and sometimes Bailey also, I think, are good, like, real time. This is how people talk. This is how people are. Like, they're honest, very honest. They're not holding back.
Yeah. They weren't born into nepotism or like silver spoon in their hand lives or, you know, anyways, different conversation for a different day. But yeah, when, the whole Bobby storyline is really tugs on the heartstrings. I think one is parents, but number two, it really just gives insight to like, okay, Alex really does care about peds. And I think it's times like these where it reaffirms that it's not just a front. It's not fake. Because he's even talking about the stuff in the surgery with Joe, like, oh man, like she says, I was half expecting to actually see a head and hair and, you know, stuff like that. And they're just very fun together. And, I still am rooting for them to be together. I would love to see that. But I like that there's kind of that real moment at the end when he's like, are you, like, I know you can fake cry. Are you hustling me right now?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, dude, like, I'm just sad. Like, we saved a kid's life. This was really cool. We took a tumor out in a bag. Like, what are we doing? And I'm just grateful that my boss is my mentor, is my best friend. They're the same three persons.
And it's also like, it's such an incredible doc. Like, the person I'm learning from is such a great doctor. Like, you know, who plays along into this kid's like, you know, you think about someone, Christina obviously would be like, no, this is a tumor. Like, and yes, I love Christina and I love her as a character, but like, she's a cardiothoracic surgeon for a reason. And Alex is in Pete's for a reason. Like, this is what they're good at. And like, he is good at that, doing that and like having fun with it. And everyone like having, like making it fun for everybody, which is so funny to think about, like where Alex came from. He was like, I'm going to be in plastics, blah, blah, blah. It's wild. So we love a character arc. So yeah, I liked that storyline. That kid was a cutie little guy.
Cutie little guy.
They pulled the mass out. That was wild. In like a baggie. Medicine is crazy.
Medicine is nuts. But very cryptic. The that last line of, I don't want to never see you again.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Which, I mean, I don't know if there's really much else to talk about with Bobby, but he lives and it's happy.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
We
love not seeing children die.
It's so true. And then, what else was there?
There was Bailey's patient, but it's really very
Bailey
short.
And Meredith and Heather.
Yeah.
So Miranda is taking over this patient from Meredith and she's like on dialysis, but her veins are just shot. Her arteries like can no longer continue to do their job, which is a problem. And she's on waiting for a transplant. So they're kind of going back and forth, but Meredith is still obviously really invested. And so she keeps, calling Heather, to like get updates and stuff. And she tells Heather, she's like, oh, I read this article where you can actually like basically do like give them an artificial artery so that they can continue to get the treatment they need while waiting for a new organ. So Bailey, Heather pitches that to Bailey, and Bailey's like, great, that's the solution. Like, amazing. And so, you know, then they're in the surgery, and Richard gets called out, and Miranda says, what more can Meredith Grey take from me today? And Heather's like, yeah, so she actually gave us the solution. And Bailey's like, respectfully, this actually was a HIPAA violation. Quite literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
Does Bailey not like Meredith anymore? I don't even
she's
know.
She's mad again because...
She's mad. She's always mad for something.
She likes to be mad at Meredith specifically. Meredith, she did know at this point the situation, that them quitting was the reason the Pegasus sale was falling through. She knew that much.
Yeah,
so obviously
she
doesn't
full
have
extent.
The full story, the full like big picture scope situation. So it's understandable that she would be upset. But yeah, she does like to take it out on Meredith. but yeah, it is a HIPAA violation.
No big deal.
Actually, very rarely is it actual a HIPAA violation in life, but this time it was.
Yeah,
it's
especially
so funny
because she doesn't work for them anymore. She quit.
Yeah, I was at dinner with. We go to dinner with our family every Friday. You know that. Yeah. And I was there, and I was talking about work, and I was like, "Oh, I'm working a wedding on like this date or whatever." And one of my cousins had also been invited to a wedding on that date, so she was like, She was like, "Wait, whose wedding is it? Can you tell me? Is that a HIPAA violation?" And she works at a physical therapy practice. So
that's
she's like,
really,
as a joke,
so
she's just like, that's what she says. Like, if she's asking if something's a secret.
I think I'm stealing that.
I know, right? I was like, that's so funny.
Can you tell me what's that. Going on with this? Or is that a HIPAA violation?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Can you spill the tea, or is that a HIPAA violation?
Oh, goodness. But for real, don't violate my HIPAA. HIPAA
has two A's and only one P, guys. If you're going to accuse people of it, at least spell it right.
It's like, HIPAA!
That's what I sound like when I fall off a cliff.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, do we need to take a quick moment for capitalism, or are we...
Yeah, let's take a quick moment.
Okay, capitalism, do your thing. This capitalism break is brought to you by capitalism...
.com.
Thank you, capitalism.com.
I hope so badly that someone somewhere got an ad for like a bank.
I also, what if that was Julian Crest's big.com?
Capitalism.com.
I need to know. What comes up at capitalism.com? I need to know. Let me look.
I don't know, but let me tell you this while you're looking that up. We have money in like a mutual fund.
Capitalism.com. We help entrepreneurs build seven-figure businesses they can sell. For parts.
We also, like, Michael and I, like, we bitch about private equity a lot because it is a huge problem. Like, it is a thing where it presents itself as positive, and then a lot of times it will, like, buy huge brands and then just sell them out from under people's feet and, like, liquidate them for like what's happening with Pegasus this episode.
Yeah.
So we have a mutual fund, and we were like talking about it and like putting, you know, we were just talking finances and like putting money in different places and everything. And we had like one of the most recent like summaries of it that we got in the mail. And he was like, oh, we need to look and see, I think it says on there like which private equity owns our mutual fund. And I was like, this is a private equity. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, dang it. I do hate it when things that I hate also benefit me. It is one of the worst things, and I hate it so much. And he was like, here, let me see. I'm going to look up and see, like, who owns it. Because it'll say, like, one thing, but then you, like, look at it online, and it's owned by some umbrella company or whatever.
Yeah. A shell corporation.
And it was last night after, like, you know, I already had a terrible day because someone at school was mean to Scarlett, and it was just not a good day. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to look it up. And I was like, let me tell you this right now. I don't have the emotional bandwidth to be told that BlackRock is like in control of my finances. So if that's who it is, I will set myself on fire. Luckily, it was not.
We're just going to liquidate and then buy into another BlackRock-owned Shell Corporation.
I will lay down and stop existing if you tell me that BlackRock is contributing and controlling our mutual fund.
You know, what is interesting about private equity is, especially when it comes to like houses and home equity, these companies just sell the rights to your mortgage payments.
It's fucking insane.
Out of nowhere. We've had this house for going on 4 years, or it was just 4 years. We've had three mortgage companies own our mortgage in that time.
Have you watched The Big Short?
No, I haven't.
We actually just watched it a couple weeks ago. It was the day that Taylor and Travis got engaged.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Because I sat down to watch it. We had just pressed play when Ricky and Emily were calling me to tell me the news. It was really interesting. I will say they do a good job.
That's
explaining
the Christian
it.
Bale movie, right? Christian Bale's in it.
He's in that. Yeah. They do a good job explaining it for the most part. And I think like you would understand because you are interested in finances. There were times when I paused it and I like had to ask Michael and his mom like clarifying questions, because there were some things that I felt like they were talking about with the assumption that people would know, and I did not. So, but for the most part, they do a good job of kind of like, they talk directly to the camera to like explain certain things, but it's a good movie. There's apparently like a follow-up that's a very similar concept called Margin Call that I think we're also going to watch.
Okay.
But it was great. Would recommend. And it did help me understand the housing bubble situation more than I did, which was basically none.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty insane. And what's crazy about all that is they'll just do that without, you know, telling you. But also, even with car loans, when Jess got her car,
really any loans, I feel,
yeah, it is nuts. When we got Jess's car, the loan was under that one company where we got it for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, and then it was sold to the company who we have it now. It's like kind of crazy. But from what I do hear, that's a good sign of your creditworthiness, because people will find loans that they can buy from high credit individuals, and they use that as an income stream. So
yeah,
it's interesting. I'm not going to pretend like I know the minutiae of that. I don't, but it is wild. So,
yes. So, okay. Anyways, the good news is BlackRock does not control my mutual fund.
Great. I'm really, really happy for you on that.
Okay. So, yeah, though Miranda and Richard and Heather are able to do the surgery successfully for the woman. And then also at the beginning of the episode, Bailey shows up and she's like in a suit. And Leah's like, oh, that's a nice suit. Is it new? And she's like, no, it's old. It's the suit I wear when I go on interviews, and I haven't gone on one in a long time.
And she's right in front of Owen.
Yeah, and Owen's like, you can't go on interviews. You're the heart of this hospital, blah, 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 whatever. And she's like, meh. And she goes, let me pull it up because I want to get it right.
While you're pulling that up too, I want you to know I did not recognize Heather at first.
Heather?
I thought this was
with the short hair.
Because yeah, I think it was the first time we see her with that haircut. And it took me until the next time seeing her that I'm like, oh, that was Heather. Even though I think Owen even said, right, Brooks? Right, yeah. Heather?
Okay. Bailey, this place is a sinking ship. Oh, and this place is not sinking. We have some trouble, but we're going to fix it. Cahill's convinced Pegasus to come back to the table. She's having the meeting right now, and she's going to make the sale. Everything's going to be fine. Whatever you say, Captain.
Captain.
Bailey, please. They're reevaluating their offer based on all of these walkouts. We can't afford to lose another surgeon, most of all you. Bailey. Me? Owen says, you're the heart of this hospital, the spirit. You set the tone that others can aspire to. This place can't function without you, right, Brooks? What? Yes, right. Bailey says, fine, you better be right, because if this boat goes under and I don't have a life jacket, I'm coming looking for you, fist swinging. And I'm short, so my punches land low. And she like air punches right in front of his dick. And it's so funny.
It's really funny. It is. You know it's a threat. It's like when the mob says you'll be sleeping with the fishes. She's ready to punch dick is what she's ready to do.
She's ready to punch his dick specifically. Honestly, same.
Punch that dick's dick. Real. So, yeah. So anyways, the whole thing with that surgery, when they're in, what does she say in the actual surgery? She's like, you can't do that. I'm the heart of the hospital or something.
Yeah.
But then Heather at one point goes, man, you really are the heart of the hospital. And she goes, I was. And I'm like, oof. Ugh.
Yeah, she's like, I was, Brooks.
I was.
Like, damn. Damn, what's going on?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
But she lives. She lives, too. Huh. And it goes from
both Miranda and the patient.
Everyone lives. But in the beginning, when you meet this patient, she is like, yeah, this is a goner, really low hope kind of situation.
Yeah,
and Bailey walks in
with a pillow.
Yeah. And there's kids and she's like in a coma and the husband's there and the husband just looks so sad. He's about to lose his wife. Kids are just wailing and they're doing their thing and it's like, oh, okay, so this sucks, but yeah. It doesn't live.
They don't
lives.
yeah, they don't make it seem like it's going to be successful, so it's nice that it is.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. The last, anything to add with that patient? I think that's all the patients, right? Like,
oh yeah, pretty, I don't think anything low. Else I've got with that storyline.
I wanna call back one kind of side story. So they kind of have this Jackson and Steph story that goes back and forth, and they kind of start to imply that Steph is like falling in love with Jackson and she's ready to move across the country, and Leah's like, don't do it, don't be that girl, and she's like, I'm not that girl. Turns out she's thinking about being that girl,
right?
And that scene, the scene I'm talking about, when she's like, every step you take towards Jackson is a step backwards for women's rights. And she takes a step and she goes, there goes the right to vote. And she takes another step and she goes, there goes Roe v. Wade. And jokes on her, we already lost Roe v. Wade. And it wasn't because of Jackson.
This was in 2013 they filmed this episode.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
Scarlett's home.
Hi, Scarlett.
Lollipop in her mouth.
I actually thought that was applesauce
baby.
No,
no, that was a blue lollipop. So that's, I guess, so she funny. Did something good to get a blue lollipop at school,
or really bad to shut her up.
Yeah, that's how they run elementary schools for sure.
Listen, I don't know. There's some places where. Never mind. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I'm not that sassy today. So, I think I feel good. I don't know if there was any other.
Let me double check those Noda notes real quick. Stephanie's like going back and forth. She's like, should I go with him, should I not go with him? Like, and here's what I'll say, and we've said this before, you can make large life decisions while factoring in what your partner is doing. It's not. Now, if you just don't talk to him and he's like, I'm moving to Boston, and you are then like, well, I have to move to Boston. That
totally different story. Yeah.
But just like the concept of being like, okay, we both have to make a move. Should we talk about it? Like, these are the offers. Do we kind of keep that in mind while we're making this decision? Like, it doesn't need to be the only factor, but like, it's fine to like consider the options, in my opinion.
But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they're obviously very early on in their relationship, but as long as they're being communicative with each other, it's not like they're not together and she's going to follow him across the country. Like,
yeah.
Also, when Leah says, is the sex really that good? And Stephanie's like, look at him. I'm like, real. So real.
Especially in the hoodie. Looks really good in the hoodie.
The hoodie looks so good.
Yeah. The other thing I will say, there was a scene that kind of like is leaning into the will they, won't they, where they're in the surgery and he says, you know, if I go to Boston, maybe a world exists where you could go to a place that's close, you know?
Maybe that's not too shabby.
Maybe it's not too bad. And they have that long look and they're lingering and their eyes are having physical intercourse with each other.
Right.
Which is the only way that we can watch it on this particular program. For some reason, they're not showing nips left and right.
It's even the nips.
It's not boob.
I don't
until
need you to
nip.
Explain okay. it to me. Never mind.
You did ask, and I'm not going to apologize for you asking a question, because that would not set women forward. In fact, it would set women backwards. I want you to ask these questions. You have a voice, Kelsey.
I did have one more thing I wanted to say was that I liked. And it was at the very beginning when Catherine is there and Richard's like, this is a man you can be proud of, a man who, you know, stands tall through the winds of change or whatever. And they're kind of like standing there. Jackson is like, I agree with Dr. Weber. I mean, Richard. I agree with Richard. And she just goes, I can't say I like this at all. I just love so that moment.
Good. It's so good. How does it feel, Catherine?
I mean, it doesn't. Yeah, she definitely like wants to do it with both of them against each other. But she's like, no. I didn't sign up to be on the receiving end of this.
Yeah. And then also she says, I'm going to win in the end because I'm buying the whole hospital. So wild. Y'all can just suck it right now. But yeah, I think that's all the notes that I have for this episode. Yeah, do we have any Patreon questions?
Yes, we do. Okay. Do you think Stephanie trying to follow Jackson is a step backward for womankind? No, we just said
no, no.
Based on what you have seen, if you were a successful businessman, would you consider investing?
I think a chance to own a top legacy hospital, the way that they've portrayed it, considering that I have billions of dollars. Yeah, I'm taking
it. I would say yes, because also you and I both feel very strongly that there should be reform in the healthcare industry. And so owning a very successful hospital is potentially a good way to be able to make those changes, or at least kind of start finding ways to make those changes.
Yes, yes. And also, the way they make it sound is that the people who are in Seattle Grace Mercy West are like titans in their field, right?
Right. So people are traveling from all over the country to come see Derek.
Yeah. Buying a hospital to own the quote unquote rights to Derek Shepherd alone in this context, from what I understand, seems valuable enough.
Right.
But then again, you know, when you're a billionaire, who cares?
Yeah. Nothing's valuable because of everything is.
Yeah.
What will the dynamics be like between the doctors now that Catherine has brought Jackson in?
So here's my official prediction. Jackson will either A, never actually become on the board of directors because he's going to say he doesn't want it and like really put his foot down, or B, he will be on the board of directors for a while and then step down because he cares about the relationships more than he cares about the money or the prestige or whatever. But I think ultimately it won't change his relationships. And if anything, he sees his relationships grow stronger in how they collaborate to make the right things for the hospital. And he gets to kind of be a sounding board to the Harper Avery Foundation in that way.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, either way, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting. I do see a world where, I mean, another official prediction, Catherine comes in and strong arms Owen out of being chief and Richard back into being chief. That's another official prediction.
Okay. Will Jackson accept Catherine's demand that he represent the foundation on the board with the other investors?
I think it's a 50-50. Either he takes it and steps down later, or he outright rejects it completely.
Okay.
And I think I'm leaning towards the first one, where he takes it for as long as he can handle it and then he can't handle it anymore.
Okay. If you found out by accident that the hospital was going to be sold as scraps, so if you're Heather in this situation, would you have kept it to yourself, or who at the hospital would you have told first?
I think going to Bailey first, the way that she did, makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. No. I think Richard.
I think Richard and Miranda make the most sense on like a like leadership perspective, but like as someone who has had jobs, I'm spilling the tea with my pals. Like I'm gossiping. Oh,
for sure.
About it.
For sure.
Sorry. It's unprofessional, but it's probably what I'm doing.
I don't think a world exists where I would go straight to Hunt.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if like April had overheard, you know, she would be going to Hunt, but like an intern low level like that is not going to go directly to the chief.
Yeah, no.
Do you think Richard purposely told Catherine to try and see if she would make the offer? And then it's never crossed my mind before, but Richard has been shown to be wild or wily. And did Catherine out-manipulate or out-fox Richard and Jackson by finally forcing Jackson into working for the foundation?
I think that this is actually a moment where Richard Weber wasn't playing a game. I think that he was just at like a low point. I think he was being very vulnerable.
Yeah, I think he's just sharing with his partner.
And I do think that Catherine is being wily, but I think that she really sees what she's doing as like the altruistic thing. She's
well, and I think she would kind of take the opportunity to buy the hospitals, like, this is a good thing to do. And then after see, oh, and now I can utilize this opportunity to force Jackson to do what I've been wanting him to do for his career.
Right.
How will the dynamics change between Jackson and his coworkers?
I think I need to wait to see more still. But I think it won't change too much, because I also think Jackson is going to want to step down before it gets to that point.
Okay. When Jackson turns around and looks at everyone after his mom tells him she bought him a hospital, what is he thinking?
He's thinking, oh, I just lost every single one of my friends.
Yeah.
My mom just embarrassed me and I have no friends now.
Yeah. How do I continue to exist if this is the reality?
Yeah.
How will this impact Richard and his relationship with Catherine and his career?
I think that it's definitely going to put some strain on the relationship with Catherine in the beginning, but I think that the goal is she's going to make Richard chief again.
Okay.
Because he was like, I didn't think that the hospital would outlive me. Like, I'm not ready to retire.
Yeah.
And he has, I think, the most value. Also, it would be tough to beat Owen as chief with all of the Pegasus stuff going on underneath your nose and then still be able to look your team in the eye after that.
Yeah. Will Owen stay as chief of surgery or will he be replaced with a pick from either the new board and or Jackson Catherine?
I think Richard's going to be the
pick.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And that's all of the questions.
So let's rate it.
Yes.
Five.
Okay.
Yep. I really like this episode.
Yeah, I agree. This is a five. And I remember it, and I mostly just remember the back and forth with like the billionaire and then like that very little bit hard at the end. But watching it again, it's like the theatrics of it and like the nail biter cliffhanger esque because it's just so much, and then it's like all right in that last minute, which I love. I just think the drama of it is there, and it's served in a different way than what we normally see as far as Grey's drama, because it's like almost like a business drama, not any medical drama, not any like relationship drama. It's just like, how do you have a hospital? How do we keep this place existing? So I like that. I thought that was good. So yeah, I'm very into it. Predictions. You've made a lot of predictions kind of with our questions.
I think I've predicted everything that I want to predict
or
I can predict.
Yeah.
The only thing on top of that I will say is at the end, Arizona and Callie were starting to kind of come to peace with leaving. I see a world where they probably are the first people of the group, the purchase group, to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the next characters to willingly leave the show are in this order: April, Callie, and Arizona.
Okay. And you think that will be a direct line from the purchase?
Long-term.
Like a direct result.
Yeah. I just think in general, they're, because they, you know, they've lost their daughter's father, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they want to live life. Maybe they need a fresh start in general. Their relationship has also been through a lot, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being patient with the delay. Sorry if you can hear my baby in the background. I have children that are here. And so we appreciate you guys listening. Please make sure you keep sharing us. Make sure you leave a review. You can visit graysacademypod.com to find our socials and our Patreon and our merch and all of the information there. And we just really appreciate you. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much. And we'll see you all in the next one.